Yeah. What? Yeah. Welcome to Gilmore, guys. I'm Kevin, and there's no other Gilmore guys here today. Demi called in sick at the last minute, so if you can complain about it, you can tweet out to him, at @ElectroLemon. Direct all your complaints to him. But we do have a guest today. I'm very excited about it, but before we get to it...
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I just want to address some things from the previous episodes real quick. Number one, Alexis Bledel is not here today. She canceled on us again for the 11th time in the row, I think. So we're dealing with that. But I feel like we have someone even better than Alexis Bledel today. You might be saying, how is that possible? But, oh, it's very possible. But before we get to that, let's address some Gilmore goofs from the last few episodes. In episode 108, I might have called it Dorothy Parker Productions as the name of Paladino's company. It's actually Dorothy Parker Drankier Productions, which is totally different. So if any of you guys got confused and, like, real messed up about that, I just want to apologize. In episode 107, we kept saying Taylor Doozy. It's actually Dosey. Which is like a rookie mistake. I don't know how we kept doing that. And in episode 106, I feel like I'm really not equipped to talk about it today, but we talked about the lack of people of color on the show and whether or not Michelle counts as black is the big question that got directed to us over and over again on Twitter. And I feel like we're going to skip that topic of conversation today, leave it for next time when maybe there's a little more diversity in the room. But we'll get to that in future episodes. But today I am so excited for my guest today, and I can't wait to intro her with her music right now. Yeah. All right, you know her from Totally Biased. You've seen her on the Pete Holmes Show. She is a stand-up. She is a writer. You know her from Funny or Die. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Eliza Skinner. It's her. She's real. She exists. Oh, that cut out real quick.
I feel like they got the point of it.
Yeah, I think they got the gist.
Yeah.
Oh, Eliza, thank you so much for doing the show today.
Sure, yeah. Thanks for asking me.
Oh, my gosh. It's amazing to have a show where you can just invite your favorite comedians and people to be on to talk about this dumb show, which I actually love. It's not a dumb show. Our show is dumb. But you're making it better just by being here.
Oh, well, thank you. Thanks. I may disagree about it being a dumb show, though. I mean, Gilmore Girls.
Gilmore Girls.
Yeah, it seemed... I mean, I don't know that I ever would have watched it if you hadn't asked me to do this show, because I feel like I missed the boat with it. Like, I didn't watch it when it was on TV.
What were you into when it was on TV?
When was it on TV?
It was on from, like, it premiered 2000, and it was on until 2007.
Was it, like, Dawson's Creek era? Was I watching Dawson's Creek
basically,
instead?
Basically. Yeah. Dawson's Creek and Seventh Heaven was on at the time as well.
So I think Dawson.
So you never got into it. Did you have friends that were into it?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely remember people talking about it a lot. I had a friend who... was kind of obsessively into it. It was actually my boyfriend at the time, his brother was super into it. I think there's a lot of Gilmore guys out there.
I think there's a lot of bros, and we're reaching a demographic that has long been neglected. And so I don't want to say I'm a civil rights champion for that me and Demi are.
But someone probably is saying that about you.
Someone's going to.
Yeah.
So if you want to say that on Twitter and then we retweet it, you can do that.
Yeah,
so,
man, what is gender, you know?
Ooh, so good. We'll get into that, too. What is gender? What is race? All the big questions. So this is your first episode ever of the show?
This is my first complete episode. I mean, I think that you can't avoid seeing some amount of it, just like how much I think it was in syndication and stuff. Like, at some point, you turn on a TV and there's some Gilmore Girls on it. But this is the first time that I sat down and straight up, on purpose, watched an entire episode.
Mm-hmm. And overall, what's your verdict?
It is dumb. It is a dumb show. I'm sorry. Does everybody, like, stop now?
Oh,
I'm just kidding. No. overall, it was I think that all the aspects that had gotten talked about that I had heard, like the fast talking. Mm-hmm. I didn't really hear the fast talking. There was one scene where I was like they it seemed like they hadn't even bothered writing dialogue for the boyfriend. Like they just wrote like beginning lines, and then it was like you'll
which one is that
going to be? It's when they were do we just get into it? when she's trying to ask. When Rory's asking her boyfriend to
ask Dean about Todd.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, asking Dean about Todd. And he's like, we'll see. And she's like, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, well, wait. And she's like, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, but wait, let me talk. I was like, oh, they didn't even bother writing dialogue for him because they were just like, then she does her Rory thing where she talks.
That's one of the things you'll see on the show is how, in a way, which is fine given everything else on TV, but how kind of the men are a little underwritten. As mm-hmm. compared to the women on the show. Like, it's definitely, like, the anti-reverse Bechdel test, leaves it in the dust. Mm-hmm. This is a rare episode so far in which two men talk to each other. That's not...
They sort of talk to each other. Who are you thinking of?
Well, I'm thinking of Rune and Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But before we get into all that discussion, we'll start the episode discussion the way we do every episode discussion with a little segment we call Pop Goes the Culture. Usually Demi and I do that. That's just me. And Eliza looking on with a sympathy in her eyes for my loneliness in that moment. So this is a segment where we take every pop culture reference in the show, string them all together in a little supercut, and play them back. So this is Gilmore Girls, episode 112, Double Date, Pop Goes the Culture.
You don't have some guy staring at you like he's Sharon. You're the kid from Mask.
Beck is a genius, and all these stupid girls are screaming at him just because they're buying into the rock star image.
Beethoven.
Beethoven. The one with the dog?
There's a scene where this little dog is running around with a huge cabbage in his mouth.
Yeah, but after three cheeseburgers, you're done unless you're expecting Elijah to stop by.
And the Foo Fighters. Gods.
That's very... Richard Simmons of you. Look, I know Mrs. Kim and Robert Duvall and the great Santini share a striking resemblance.
She tells me the story of how Jackson cultivates his own mealworms to help fertilize his plants. One more time, I'm gonna Romeo and Juliet them both.
The Velvet Underground. Oh, Nico. She is amazing.
The best of Blondie, Kraftwerk, Young Marble Giants. Yoko Ono, really?
A very misunderstood artist, and the Beatles would have broken up anyway.
Have you shared this theory with anyone?
I know it. Yoko knows it. Sean knows it. Julian's still in denial, but what can you do?
Claudine Longer.
The chick who shot the skier?
Sure, why not?
The chick who shot the skier.
That one I didn't remember.
I didn't know
what
either.
What is that about? So, did you look it up? Do you know?
Yes, I did. It's a real person that exists. Claudine Longer. Let me get the Wikipedia out. She does exist. It's not just something in the world of the show.
It reminds me of the Marry Me pilot, they made a reference to him to jerking off to photos of the swimmer, of the surfer who got her arm bitten off by a shark.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah, her. I feel like it's the same sort of like, oh, what?
You remember that way back? So how do you feel about the pop culture references in the show in general? Because it is such a, and this is actually a pretty light one too, compared to the rest.
Like that, well, that's why I had questions about when it was actually on, because it feels like it's even more 90s than 2000s.
Especially with the fashion as well.
Yeah.
Well, we'll get into that.
Definitely the fashion, but even like the Beck stuff and this really bothered me, the Fugazi mm-hmm. thing, because mm-hmm. she was like, when she's like, oh, what bands do you like? Maybe Fugazi, what's on your shirt? Fugazi very famously refused to make shirts.
Mm.
Like, they wouldn't merchandise. So, like, the closest thing to an official Fugazi shirt, which still is not official, is the shirt that says, this is not a Fugazi shirt.
Mm.
So him having a Fugazi shirt, I was like...
Is a paradox.
Like, who would... Yeah, that's... It's a wormhole.
Someone screwed up.
Yeah, I think somebody really screwed
up. That's a Gilmore gif.
Oh, okay.
Right? But on them. Yeah, Claudine Longer was a popular singer and recording artist from the 60s and 70s who was arrested in 1976 for the shooting of her lover, an Olympic skier, at his home in Aspen, Colorado. That's a deep cut.
It really is.
Right?
It's like it feels like this, Like, it was written by people who were a little too old to be writing these characters and are like, what are the kids like? Ugh.
Claudette Longet.
Yeah, exactly. Sonny and Cher.
We've talked about that before. Like, the references are super old and a lot of, like, almost like Borscht Belt show business, like Henny Youngman. Yeah. And who's the other one? I understand
needing to staff your show with, like, experienced people who are probably a little bit older, but, like, geez, I don't know, have some conversations with the writer's assistants or something. Like, yeah, really, like, pick their brains.
What are you guys actually into?
Yeah, it's like Bad Judge on Now.
Mm-hmm.
There was one moment where she's, like, rocking out with her headphones on and kind of bumps into somebody and he's like, oh, Chili Peppers, you know. And, like, that's supposed to prove to us, like, oh, yeah, she is totally cool.
RCHP, bro.
Like, really? Chili Peppers?
Yeah.
I'm sure somebody in the building could have given you, like, a slightly more edgy reference.
Yeah,
that.
So to you, all these references were probably a little out of touch.
Yeah.
That's fair to say. That is very fair to say. There was one in a couple episodes ago to Peyton Place, which is a soap opera from the 1960s. Do you remember it?
I've heard it referenced before.
You've heard it before and stuff.
Yeah, well, and I don't know. Overall, this isn't really a pop culture thing, but, like, just the idea of this is what those New England towns that seem cute are like is so, like, no, they're definitely just boring. They're definitely just really boring and not as pretty. I don't know.
I've never been to Connecticut. So for me, the myth is kind of still alive. Well, have you been or been to New England?
When I was living in New York, I went on lots of day trips. I would do the whole, like, bed and breakfast thing up in Connecticut, New Hampshire, Vermont, all that shit. And I always was like, oh, this is so cute. But you walk into the stores and they're not like, hello, this is me, and this is my friend who, we have some sexual tension, but I don't know, maybe someday we'll make it work. Can we get you a soda? It was always like, what? Coca-Cola? I don't know if we have that. Let me go see. Like,
it was a little more backwoodsy.
Yeah, it's really backwoodsy.
So, but not true to Eliza's experiences.
Yeah, no.
Maybe it wouldn't be true to mine. Now I don't know if I want to visit ever. Because I always thought that'd be fun.
I did find it delightful, but it was, like, delightful, like,
from a different angle.
Yeah.
Not from such a cutie mothers and daughters of best
friends
angle.
Exactly, yeah.
So the episode synopsis, as told by Netflix, is Lorelai goes on a hellish double date with Suki. Jackson. Yeah, that's what it says. Jackson and Jackson's odd cousin. These Netflix synopses are bonkers, by the way. If you ever look at them, like, they've emphasized the wrong things. They're written weirdly. Anyway, the second part is, meanwhile, Rory double dates with Dean, Lane, and Dean's friend, who doesn't get a name in the synopsis, which is fine. He's a minor character. The teaser was the first wordless teaser of the show, if you hadn't seen it before. Because it was just all, it was one fluid take, which I appreciated.
It was like, oh, we're so, we get each other.
You love this show.
I mean, I made fun of it at the beginning and said that it was terrible, but it's not. I have a degree in media and media analysis, so, like, I'm constantly watching all this stuff with, like, a lens, like, what are you trying to teach us? How is this being used?
And well, this is a media analysis podcast. This isn't supposed to be funny.
So there you, oh, good.
At all.
Well,
like, don't make jokes, please.
I won't.
Okay.
Forget it.
Thank you. This is no bit zone.
Yeah.
So what were they trying to communicate from the teaser?
That they are so in sync with one another and that they do this every day. And
they don't even need words.
That they're just, like, and that they're such equal partners. Like, there was a number of things in that that I was like, my mom would have told me don't do that. My mom would have been like, wait for the coffee to finish brewing and then we each pour a cup.
Yeah, they really went for it prematurely.
Yeah.
Because they do love their coffee, man.
Yeah, and Pop-Tarts for breakfast?
Yeah, it was a little.
Who really eats? And who really eats just one? Come on.
That's true. If you're going to go
for
it.
You eat both of them.
I was actually surprised that they only ate one because they have a history on the show of eating just, like, garbage food all the time, constantly, and still looking like that, which is great. And such a good role model. So Act 1 begins. Rory and Lane are going through the music. And their sweaters, I found in this scene, were oddly matching. Did you notice this?
Uh-uh.
Like, the patterns were matching. Lane's was green on green, and Rory's was red on red, something like that. But it was very...
As far as fashion goes, I feel like clips were featured heavily mm-hmm. in this episode. Like in the beginning when she takes the clip out and is like, what are you even doing with that clip in your hair? And then like later on, they were like, we need clips, more clips for hair.
Well, let's get into that with the fashion report. Fashion. We actually do this every episode. This is true.
Does it hurt you each time you have to do one of these and you're all by yourself?
A little. Well, this is the first time. So.
No, but I mean each one of the like little like segment intros. That clearly, normally, there are two of you doing.
Yes. It's, you know, you never know what you have until you don't have it.
Yeah, right? Mm. Wow.
So true. So, were there any outfits to you that stood out besides the clips and the...
I mean, I think the one that stood out the most was the top that Lorelai was wearing in the final scene.
Mm-hmm.
The like, sort of turtleneck, paisley, long sleeve top thing.
Is that the one with the red leather jacket?
Was she? I just remember her sitting when they were sitting at Luke's, and she's.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. During the double date,
it's like wowee. This
it was kind
is...
of a silk loud nightmare.
Yeah.
It was not good.
And also, what Luke was constantly wearing, I was like, can dressed it up a little bit for being at work?
But that's Luke. He's salt of the earth. He's a man of the people. He wouldn't dress it up.
I guess.
You're not into that sort of fashion. Because I actually like Luke's fashion.
Really?
A little bit. I mean, that chambray shirt he was wearing, because he's wearing a pearl snap chambray.
Well, that, yes. I'm thinking, again, the end where he's like got the baseball cap, he's got the t-shirt, mm-hmm. he's got the shirt over the shirt. I'm like, you know, do the thing where you look in the mirror, you turn around, you look back, first thing you see, lose it. I would have lost the hat. Lose the hat. You don't need the hat. It's too busy.
The problem is, and you didn't see in this episode, but his hairline is kind of...
So he's got to wear the hats?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's Nicolas Cagey a little bit, borderline. It just creeping up.
I feel like that would have been a nice thing for guys. Like, hey, you know what? Your hairline can creep back and the hot mom can still have some weird sexual tension with you.
You're right. That would have been a good role model.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of good role models for young men on this show, as we see.
And there's not a lot of good role models for aging gracefully with your hairline for men in general.
No. Yeah. Do you think that's true?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like everybody just goes ahead and gets plugs these days.
Hmm.
Ted Danson was always great about it. I mean, he wasn't always. When he was on Cheers, he would wear a piece, and then afterwards he was like, I was wearing a piece the whole time. It's stupid. And now he never does.
Wait, he really is bald?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, if you see him now, but it's in the it's the back of the head bald.
Okay.
So you don't really tell that much in the front, but then he turns around and it's like, bye-bye.
Because there was an episode of Cheers where they ripped off the wig.
Oh.
I remember, like in the last season, he was talking to Carla or something.
That was it. By the last season, he was like, guys, we all know I'm wearing a wig, right? Like he didn't, and I loved that if you're going to do any of that kind of stuff, like be the first person to own it. That's like even plastic surgery stuff. Like we had this whole Renee Zellweger, everybody like freaking out and like, da, 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 is she, isn't she? Like, yeah, she clearly did. But like, so what? That's none of anybody else's business. Like Kathy Griffin, where you're the first one who's like, yeah, I did all kinds of stuff to me. So mm-hmm. what?
She really owned it.
Yeah.
In a way that Luke needs to own his hairline.
He needs to own his hairline.
Luke, if you're listening in the past in a fictional context, own your hairline, bro.
I bet he did, but I bet the show was like, oh no, we gotta do something about
this. Well, I think it's part of the character too, because that cap is given to him by Lorelai in a previous episode, so now it's like his special cap.
Oh, I love you, I'm wearing your hair.
Are they gross to you?
No, well, I
do
mean,
you like them?
There was a take where he's like, I didn't get to ask you, and she's like, whatever. it's like, I mean, do people in real life really not see that? I feel like in real life you're like, especially when you're her age and his age, you're like, okay, we're clearly into each other. Like, is there a reason why they're not going for each other?
Right. When is there actually a reason?
Yeah.
No.
Like,
she's dating a teacher named Max Medina.
Where was he the whole time?
He was absent in the whole episode. So she's dating him, but I mean, there's no like actual buildup, and it's only in the last four episodes that Luke has started to become like a warm human being mm-hmm. and likable at all. Before he was just like, I'm
a
gruff. I don't give a shit. Here's your coffee.
I say put it out there. Just let him, just say,
just
you
let
know
it
what?
Go.
Just, I like you. You don't like me? Deal with it. Whatever. We're both going to live. We're both going to move on.
It is such a good point that with the emotional intelligence that it takes to be a woman of Lorelai's age, it was like mid-30s, and to have a daughter that you wouldn't see that, it is kind of a sitcom convention of the show that she'd be like,
But this is not a sitcom, right?
No, but there are sitcom-y elements of it.
It's such a sitcom. It's such a sitcom.
Like the double date.
Like, all of it. It was just like, in even the pacing of it, that was what I was struck with watching. And I was like, why isn't this a sitcom? Why didn't they just stick a laugh track in this? And like,
did you think it was like too drawn out for a 45-minute show?
No, but I think that the characters were too over the top for a drama.
Mm-hmm.
Like Rune.
Rune was crazy.
Rune was crazy. Yeah. Why? He should have been like... And the fact that they didn't point out how crazy and funny it was and make him funny made him like a murderer.
He was, yeah, he like, could have been a sociopath.
He seemed like a sociopath.
There was one line, though, where I feel like it really nailed it. It might have been my favorite line of the episode. I don't know if you have one, but my favorite line
of the episode is one of his.
Is that true?
Yeah.
I wonder if it's the same one. Should we say it at the same time?
See you later at home?
No. Nope.
Maybe?
No, that wasn't mine. See, was that yours?
Yeah, it was see you at home later.
Maybe.
Like, what? What
do you to Jackson? Oh,
yeah.
Gosh.
And then and that's the last line from him, and we never see him again. And no one's like, oh, yeah, it turns out he jumped off a bridge. Or, oh, yeah.
He killed nine children.
Exactly, yeah. He just went out and collected a bag of cat corpses. You know?
I wish there was a Rune spinoff. There's a lot here.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on.
He was a real weirdo.
My favorite line was actually his during the double date.
Which was that?
It was when Lorelai says to Suki, let's go powder our noses. And he's just staring at her with the grimace of like Hannibal Lecter. And just says, you're going to need a lot of powder.
Yeah.
Because she's such a tall, big woman, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Were you not into that at all as like a comedic device? Because that was his whole thing.
Him making fun of how
tall. Yeah.
Yeah. It was so, it was ridiculous. It was like how much he would say that stuff in earshot and fully like I don't know, maybe there are people. There aren't people who would do that. and if there are, there aren't people who would sit there and be like, it's cool, he's acting like this. Like, he kept being so awful to her right in front of her.
Yeah. So for you, those scenes could have used more of like a straight man in to be like, this is bonkers. What's going on?
I mean, I don't know. Back to the improv, my improv training. Like, if I was coaching that scene, and that's how I think of a lot of these things. If I was coaching it, I'd be like, play it real. You would have heard him. You would have said something. See what happens when you say something. See what happens to the date then. If you're like, hey man, you can't talk to me this way. Like, why? Like, just follow the reality of it. There's still going to be a story there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's still like these characters are still going to bump into each other, but they gave them such like a weird set of rules for what they could and couldn't notice and couldn't react to.
I do. Yeah, that's probably a good point that they're not. There's no one character that's at the top of their intelligence in each scene. There's selective blind spots for everything.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, Elaine would be into Todd at all to begin with.
You know what? That actually, all of that I do give a pass to.
Okay.
That I buy. Having been a teenage girl, the stuff that you put up with from teenage boys and the stuff that you will fold into a narrative that you create in your head for them is ridiculous. The reality is over the top.
Mm-hmm.
That like, you'll just be like, oh, you know, it's just like cool that he smells like goats.
We are soulmates.
It's just, yeah. And like the way he looks confused all the time, it's like he's confused at like how we can even deal with the pain of the world. It's like, no, he's just a ding dong who doesn't like to shower and he's dumb.
Yeah, but I did like that for Lane that became, and I guess for the show, the perspective being, and you can put your media analysis hat on for this, but just that she went on a date and it was fine. This is another line I liked about the show, was when Lorelai was prepping Suki for the date, and she said, tonight is a good thing. Even if it goes poorly and doesn't amount to anything, tonight's a good thing, no matter what. You're taking a chance, you're trying, you like this guy, let's see what happens. Mm-hmm. And I would say the same goes for the double date that Lane and Rory go on as well. For Lane, that was a good thing. She wanted a guy, she tried it, and just because it didn't work out doesn't mean it was a failure.
Yeah,
you know?
She says that afterwards. She's like, I'm glad that you, thank you so much for doing that, because if I hadn't gone out with him, I wouldn't know that I'm not in love with him.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's good. Yeah, try stuff. It's the same thing. It's like lean into the actual experiences instead of like, I don't know. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm, that's a TED Talk right there. I think there's a seed of a TED Talk
Lean into the experiences.
Eliza was just like scouting the room right now, going back and forth.
Yeah, yeah. I've got a little, one of those little remotes for a PowerPoint in my hand.
Love. What is it? We all experience love. Mm-hmm. We find love in different places.
We think
places.
We know, right? Oh, it's this. Oh, it's that. Turns out that's not what it was at all.
Oh, my gosh. So for you, had you ever seen Melissa McCarthy in a context other than...
No, yeah.
So was that jarring, or did you like it?
I knew that
it?
She was in it, because having read about her, I knew mm-hmm. that like this was like her first big like role. And it was fun to see her be a different type. Now she pretty much gets cast as brassy, and seeing her be like the like kind of soft, cute thing, I did immediately think like, oh, chefs must hate this show or never watch it.
Oh, is that?
She's introduced standing in the middle of the kitchen, holding a huge bowl of meringue, stirring the meringue with like a spatula.
Mm-hmm. Or like body a spoon,
heat,
yeah.
Yeah, body heat is not what you want around meringues. So, like, you wouldn't hold that in your arms.
Oh, I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, and you wouldn't hold a huge bowl like that in your arm. You would make sure it's on a surface. That's what an idiot like me who cooks at home, I would do that. I would hold a huge bowl like that. An actual professional chef would know not to do that. And they would, like, have it down someplace. And she has a whole conversation just standing in the middle of the kitchen holding this big bowl that is, like, clearly was just thrust into her hands by a prop person right beforehand.
Yeah, it's not very food accurate.
No.
It's not...
No.
There's not and I find that with the whole show, even with the idea of like when Lane's mom sees Lorelai in the town square, just the whole world building of the show is so flimsy in terms of a production design standpoint. Like Stars Hollow is pretty much that one WB lot square yeah. that you see. There's the gazebo, there's Luke's, the movie
Wisteria
theaters
Lane.
Across the way.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, Wisteria Lane, basically. It's so flimsy and it makes the show almost like a play in a weird way. Just spit a bunch. Almost like a play in that even the waiter, the guy who played the waiter in the double mm-hmm. date scene with Suki and Lorelai, ends up playing a different guy like two seasons later.
What?
And they do like role switching like that. Like Alex Bornstein plays two different roles on the show. Marion Ross from Happy Days plays two different roles. They just like dress him up and do another character.
So it's like community
them.
Theater.
A
not
little
just,
bit.
Not just a play, but community theater
a
play.
A little bit, yeah.
yeah.
Which is a... Sweet comparison.
Well, you mean like endearing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Is it charming
sure,
a little
sure.
bit?
Yeah.
If you had to give we usually say this for the end, but we'll do it now. If you had to give it like a rating, like is this a show that you would continue to watch of your own volition?
Okay, here's the thing.
Okay.
I would say no. Mm-hmm. This is not a show I would continue to watch. But when I watched this on... I watched it on Netflix, and then for the last like 10 minutes or so, I had gotten distracted. And so when it ended, I was like, oh shit, I should go back and watch that last 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. And so I pressed play on the episode again, and the next episode started. But when it first started, I was like, oh, what's this? Oh, I don't remember them saying that. Oh, yeah. Oh, I want to watch this. And then I was like, oh, wait, no, this is the next. I wanted to watch the next episode.
You did.
Oh, so that's how people get sucked in. You know, just like. I guess I do want to watch this, even though if you asked me, I would say no. But then if you put it in front of me, I would watch it.
You would say yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But likely you probably won't.
Yeah, probably not. Although, you know, now that I know the characters, if it comes on again, I probably will watch it.
It's interesting because I watched this. I watched this last night, and so far. And this is my fault, but I feel like this might have been the weakest episode of the
really?
Show so far.
Or is that because I'm tearing it apart?
I don't think it's because you're tearing it apart, because I felt that even before we got into the room today. I was like, man, because there's just so many interesting things about the show that are missing. Mm-hmm. Like, so many interesting... To me, the dynamic between Lorelai and her mother is way more interesting.
Oh, yeah, yeah. She
Kelly
wasn't
Bishop,
there at all.
No, she wasn't there. The grandfather wasn't there.
I have seen... That sounds familiar. I feel like I have seen that before, where because the grandparents are sort of like... You messed up your whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And she's the whole time is trying to like prove her mistakes can actually be
are
successes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a testimony to teen pregnancy, the show is. But you didn't get to see them. You didn't get to see the Chilton life and all the rest of the townies. It focused on, yeah, I just feel like it was a weaker episode.
We did get to see Michelle, though.
We did, yes.
And what is that dude about?
Here's what I would ask you. When you see him, would you identify? Because we talked about this a little
is
bit.
Is he black?
Is he black?
Yes.
You think so?
Yes.
But
why would he not be?
If you think of Michelle, wouldn't you more think French? Than
you can be French and black.
I don't. I don't. I don't understand.
I am pretty sure that you can be.
I'm from Texas. I only think of things one way or the other.
You definitely can be both. But also, judging by that accent, I would say he is not French.
Oh, yeah?
That accent is ridiculous.
It's a little dodgy.
And it makes him talk so slowly. I was surprised at how well some of his like more humorous lines came across, given how slowly he was delivering.
Yeah, it wasn't a rapid fire.
I guess
pace.
That still works. That
checks out.
Good.
I think he's French Canadian.
Oh,
but to me, am I racist, Eliza?
Yes. No. I don't think so. I think that we all have unchecked assumptions that we make.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you can be black and Canadian
and
or black and French.
Can you be all three?
Probably.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And I mean, you know, look at the entire background of Louisiana. You got all tons of people.
Let's look at it. Let's look at it now. I'm going to look up the Wikipedia for it.
You got a lot of people who have African roots and French roots. That's the whole story.
In Louisiana?
Yeah.
Did you think that the waiter, you may not have made a note of this, the waiter to me looked exactly like Colin Jost.
Oh, I don't remember
from Weekend
that.
Update.
Yeah, I honestly don't remember what he looks like. I remember him getting annoyed with them when they were like, everything's fresh. Everything's fresh. And he's like, yeah, they're fresh.
The clams, the mussels. Lane and Todd are talking in the theater at a volume that is upsetting.
Oh, yeah.
They were so loud, and no one was saying anything to them the whole time.
Again, play the reality of the situation. You know, try to have that conversation, but whisper it. And mm-hmm. have people, and if they had done it real, and if they had that sort of thing, like they're kind of whispering it, and somebody's like, shh, then that would have like raised the stakes on how tense it was and mm-hmm. how uncomfortable she was on this date. If it was like, I can't get any good answers that I like, and everybody wants everybody to shut up. Or maybe like he talks too much and he's like, oh yeah, I love Beethoven. And people are like, shut up. And she's like, I'm so embarrassed. That would have totally played into what they were trying to get across.
But instead they went with the kind of lazy sitcom route where everyone has selective hearing.
In which case, make it a sitcom.
Man, you're making me realize how much this show sucks.
Oh, see? I'm sorry.
Just kidding. No, I don't.
You did tell me I didn't have to like it.
Yes. No, that's true.
Sorry.
I actually think this is a more interesting conversation than like, this was great, and then this scene was great, and then I love this line. Because that's a lot of what we do, actually. Kate Spencer didn't like it, really. Yeah. So,
well, we're both grouches, me and Kate Spencer.
Is that true?
We're crabby crab apples. No,
Do you feel like your natural disposition towards these kind of shows, though, is skeptical at least?
I do think that my natural disposition is skeptical. I was very much raised in a house that is, if people like it, if people in general like it, it's probably not very good, which I have reacted to very strongly in my adulthood, where mm-hmm. now I tend to usually embrace things that are generally, like, I'm a big Disney fan.
Okay.
Like, things that I love malls. I love a shopping mall. And I was raised
just
in a house.
The concept of malls.
Oh, yeah. I will, like, if I'm stressed out, I'm like, I'll go to a mall and everything will be lit correctly and folded and put away and it will be temperature controlled and I will feel secure and safe and zombies aren't coming or like whatever, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I do still have a part of me that is like, it's probably dumb if people like it. I either override it or don't. And I did not override it in this case.
Yeah.
And I think also representations of women, I'm very skeptical of when they're like, this is how ladies really are. I'm like, or things that have gotten sold to me as like, oh, they get it right on this show. They like I remember feeling like my so-called life was shoved down my throat. My parents being like, this is you. It's you and your friends. You are just like this. And so I hated my so-called life. But then I grew up later and watched it and was like, oh, wait, that is pretty accurate. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. So I'm a white male. That's fair to say. Right?
Yeah.
So for me, when I watch this show, though, and I feel like, because I grew up with it, like I watched it when it was on when I was like 12 or whatever, and then grew up with it, which is kind of weird. But to me, it always struck me as, I want you to poke holes in my whatever, in my perspective. But it rang true, or it felt true, as a representation of women and how a lot of women talk to each other. For you, you guys can't see Eliza's face. It's a shame this isn't a video podcast. But
yeah, it didn't ring true for me. Again, it rang true as what sitcom women would talk, how mm-hmm. sitcom women would talk to each other. But there was so much bullshit that people did not call out. And there's some, like, I don't know. It was just a little too surfacey,
mm-hmm.
you know, like all of their discussions and everything were so surface and so like, oh, we just get along. And you know what? Me and my daughter, we get each other.
We're friends.
Like, yeah. Like, I don't believe that, like, her daughter is too well adjusted. Rory is too well adjusted. I want her to have like anxiety problems. Like, I feel like the middle daughter on Modern Family is a more accurate version of who they wanted Rory to be.
Is she the nerdy one with the glasses? Okay.
Yeah. Who's like real nerdy, has some social issues, is frustrated at people not understanding mm-hmm. what she's trying to say and do and what she cares about. And I feel like those should be part of the equation for Rory too, but she's just like super okay with everything.
I'm great.
Strangely wise.
Do you think Alexis Bledel is a good actress?
I mean, what else do I know her from?
Sister of the Traveling Pants. Sister of the Traveling Pants too.
Yeah.
A few episodes of Mad Men.
Yeah, I mean, she's. I don't think she's a bad actress.
Because mm-hmm. we always debate that on the show. Because sometimes
really?
She can be a little mumbly and like, is this good or is this a choice? We don't know.
Well, yeah, but how much does pronunciation go into accurate acting? Like, I don't know. I mean, Brando became noticed and famous for
sure.
like, chewing through his food.
Oh, totally.
His
and it's not just mumbling, because that's definitely a style now, like the whole mumblecore. This mm-hmm. is a little pre-mumblecore, I think.
Yeah.
But a little bit. But just different choices that she makes in certain scenes where she'll go, and not so much in this episode. She's not given a lot to do.
I would say, excuse me, from what I could tell from this, she seemed to be trying to add as much character and reality to what is an annoyingly fictional character.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know?
So she's trying to ground it.
Yeah.
Something that is so idealistic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I wanted her to be a little more stressed out.
I could see that. And I think you do see that, like, in later seasons, she kind of goes off the rails a little bit in a way that's kind of satisfying to see. Spoiler alert. But yeah, in seasons like 4 or 5, the college years, it's like, oh, Rory, what's going mm-hmm. on?
Does she stay at home when she goes to college?
No. But she goes home to do laundry a lot.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Now, unlike anything I've ever talked about on the air, I actually stand by Squarespace. I actually do, because I've used it for everything I've made. Literally, GilmoreGuysShow.com, the very website for this very podcast, was made using Squarespace. How beautiful is that? KevinTPorter.com. I made that using Squarespace. My old bake shop website, that was made using Squarespace. Because you can do it all with Squarespace. You can sell content on your website. So exclusive stuff behind a paywall. You can sell memberships, courses, or sell files your customers can download, like PDFs, music, or eBooks. You can do that with Squarespace. You can do analytics with Squarespace, so you can figure out who's visiting your website and why, and figure out how to get traffic and where's it coming from. You can also have people do flexible payments on Squarespace. Make checkout seamless for your customers with simple but powerful payment tools. Accepts credit cards, PayPal, Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer customers the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and ClearPay. How nice is that? You can also do email campaigns, so there's constant outreach for your stuff and people know where to find you. So I'm going to let you know where to find Squarespace. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. That's squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now let's talk about your social battery. Maybe right now it's bursting at the seams with energy. Maybe it's a little drained. Maybe you're one of those people like my friend with their phone battery that keeps it 2% all the time, even when they stay home all day. And they definitely could charge up if they wanted to, but they don't. Well, regardless of where it is, it's important to understand why it is the way it is. Why is the battery low when it gets low? Is it because you're feeling less social? Is it because you're feeling sad? Is it because of emotions you've yet to identify? Or maybe just boundaries you haven't set for yourself yet? Either way, it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? How do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, maybe you don't. Maybe you need a little more alone time. Well, either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. This is so important because I've been in therapy for 10 plus years, for some would say, technically, 11 years this month. And it's helped me so much understand where I get my energy from, how I use my energy, how to better use my energy, and how to maintain things in a way that's sustainable and healthy and good. And that's to do, of course, with boundaries, but also just understanding who I am and what I want. And I couldn't have done so much of that work without therapy. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GilmoreGuys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GilmoreGuys.
That's kind of the convention,
though. So how did you get interested in watching this show? You said you were like 12 when you were watching this?
Yeah. I remember it being on. I remember one crazy night where I was spending the night at a friend's house, and their cousin got in a car wreck, and we were up all night,
yikes,
like on the phone, because we were young, so we didn't like go out to help them or, you know, pull wreckage or anything or go to the hospital. But we were up all night, like, concerned and talking with people and just staying up. And I remember one episode, and it was a season one episode, so it must have been 2000. So I must have been 10, actually, now that I think about it. I was 10 or 11. I remember that being on, and I just remember really gravitating towards it. I don't know. And then they would have it on. That group of friends would have it on a lot. And then I got super into it probably in season three, season four. I do have a fun memory of my dad walking in on me watching it.
How did you feel about that?
It was interesting because it was like in a very dramatic part of the show where it's like, oh, you had sex with him, you had sex with her, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like 12 watching it. Mm-hmm. And it's the show for women. So I don't know what his take on it, if I were to ask him now, would have been. But they were not pleased. I remember that.
Oh,
at the
yeah?
time. Yeah.
Like, I mean, this is too girly for our son?
Not even too girly. It was just, it was too sexual. It was too much about sex, blah, blah, blah. And I was like 12,
wow,
which is kind of fair.
But like, I would think Gilmore Girls' version of sex would not be like raunchy or.
Oh, no. I mean, they don't show like full frontal or anything.
They just acknowledge the concept of it.
They acknowledge.
So
yeah,
do you
right.
feel like from like the first time, do you feel like this is, it's like somewhat a soothing show for you?
You're
like,
I think
in times
so.
Of chaos, Gilmore Girls is a
trouble.
Safe place to be.
That's such an interesting idea because I never thought about that the first time I watched it was during a time of chaos.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I was saying about like shopping malls for me.
Are you sure you didn't just major in regular analysis? Because you're blowing my mind right now.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, why do we gravitate towards the things mm-hmm. that we gravitate? And what are they making us feel
right.
that we're, and how are they doing that?
Because everything is manipulation. Everything
yeah.
is... communicating something.
Yeah, and I feel like even the idea of manipulation is kind of frowned upon, like you shouldn't be manipulated. I think the problem is if you are manipulated ham-fistedly,
mm-hmm.
you know, like if we weren't agreeing to be manipulated and actually seeking it out, we wouldn't even have music in any of the TV shows or movies that we watch. All that is to like poke those emotion buttons in your brain. But yeah, I think that's a fine reason to watch something. Like, I think what we have a lot of now, and actually probably starting around the same time, is stuff that is media and shows that are there to scare us. And I mean, in like a fundamental like way. Like, I think that it's very strange how much most women, like if this is what is being put together for women,
mm-hmm.
this show, what they're watching just as much as Law and Order SVU.
Hmm.
And it's like, what are we creating for women?
Right.
Like, be soothed, be frightened, be soothed, be frightened.
There's no in between. I mean, what to you, what would be like a like you talked about the male daughter on Modern Family, but what would be kind of a good antidote to a show like this as far as like female figures in the media go? If well, one, if such a show exists, maybe it doesn't yet.
Broad City.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I mean, I think that if we're talking about trying to seek out representations of female female on female relationships,
girl on girl,
yeah, and what feels true right now, I think Broad City is a great. I mean, it's not mother daughter; it's just two friends,
right?
But I think that it really feels familiar and true.
And I think that rings true too because they actually are friends. Whereas this is a show written by a woman who doesn't have a daughter.
Ooh,
yeah,
she's got a mother. I'm assuming
she's got a mother.
From a pod.
Right.
But yeah, and it does seem like it was written very, like a lot of aspects of it feel like they were written from a place of imagination, not experience.
Right.
Like, wouldn't it be nice if this is what my relationship with my mm-hmm. mother was like? See, you could do it. You could have a mother-daughter thing. And I think it is aspirational in terms of every woman who has a kid is like, this is what it's going to be like. I'm going to be a cool mom. My kid's never going to get to an age where she hates me. We're going to like totally get along forever. And you know what? I'm not even going to feel old. I'm going to feel like her friend, not her mom.
Yeah.
And so then the show is probably just like, I would think this is a huge boner for girls who want to be moms but aren't yet. And I would imagine, like, I should listen to Kate's episode because as an actual mom, I'm sure she's like, yeah, no. Doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
Doesn't actually work like that.
I don't know if she's gotten to the dynamics in her
No, yeah. I mean,
lives.
Her kids are very small.
Right.
But
she doesn't drink coffee with them.
Yeah. And I think as soon as you have them, you start seeing that your imagination, your imaginary version of what it's going to be like is totally wrong. Throw
right.
it out the window and just take it as it comes.
Mm-hmm. Wow. We're really getting deep today.
Are we?
I love it. Oh my gosh. I love this discussion so, so much. Was there anything you liked about the episode?
Yeah, no, there was a lot of stuff. As I said, I did really like the Lane and dude
Todd.
Yeah, that whole journey that she went on. I think that it wasn't a subtle journey, but it did feel familiar of being like, oh, I know who he is. He is my soulmate. It is perfect going out with him. It is not like that at all. Nope, this guy's a dud. And I think that it's I think it's a cool behavior for them to model that she is then over him rather than being like,
hung up.
He's still good. He's still good. Mm-hmm. I could still save part of it. Mm-hmm. You know, like someone with a pie in the mud, like, oh, I could still find part
yeah,
of this
yeah.
I could eat. So, yeah, I liked that a lot. What else? As I said, I wish they would just run at the stuff that they're trying to make funny. Just make it for real funny. Like that weird Rune character. And everyone being like, Rune, where does that come from? Like he's never heard that. That dude has definitely been asked where his name came from before. Many times would be like, what do you mean from my dad? It came from my dad. I don't know. Like,
so you wish they would have played more real for Rune?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You know?
No, I get that.
I mean, you could still have him be a ridiculous person, but play it real. I don't know.
Well, how did you feel about the relationship between Mrs. Kim and her daughter, Lane?
I liked it.
Because to me, I think my favorite scene in the episode was probably
the two
mm-hmm.
moms. Yeah, I agree.
Their conversation.
I agree. And it did feel more real. That's more the style of mom that I had.
Mm-hmm.
And
was Mrs. Kim?
Yeah. The like, I will go and find you and pull you out of whatever situation
right.
you're in and embarrass you in front of your friends and be like, you knew you weren't allowed to do this,
mm-hmm.
that kind of stuff. And I think that's a lot of parents. A lot more than are like, hey, we're so chill and best friends. Like, there's a lot more Mrs. Kims out there than there are Lorelai's.
Right, which you see modeled with Emily, who's the main character on the show, but not in this episode. Oh, man, I'm regretting giving you this episode now. If we had done two after or two before.
I was actually just delighted to not, or felt a difference in not watching a Halloween episode right now, because we're in Halloween time, and I feel like everything on TV is, yeah. So I was like, oh, no one's in a Halloween costume.
Yeah, they don't really do any holiday episodes.
Really?
No. I mean, they don't do Christmas really ever.
Really?
Mm-mm. They do like snow stuff, but it's never like Merry Christmas, guys, and they're like under the tree.
Huh.
Which I think because they're Jewish, the people that write the show. Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Totally.
Yeah. Well, but still. Halloween. Everybody does. I mean,
I don't think they've ever done it.
Maybe they've got some Jehovah's Witnesses or
some Johos. Oh, maybe. Some, I don't know. I mean,
there's a few that are anti Halloween.
I never trick or treated as a kid.
Really?
Mm-mm.
How come?
We just didn't. I mean, it wasn't even
Wait,
a rule.
No.
We just
no. Nobody just doesn't
we
trick
didn't.
Or treat.
I mean,
no. Come
it was
on,
a pretty conservative household.
Okay.
And
you had friends who did it, right?
I was homeschooled.
So you did not have any friends?
Until I was like seven.
Okay.
Seven or
eight. You didn't have any like 7 or 8 year old friends or neighbors who were like, yeah, this is great. We got a bunch of free candy and some crappy apples.
I don't remember ever being into it and being denied it. I just never was. It just was never a desire on the table.
What?
I know. I might be messed up, aren't I?
Well, I'm not saying you're messed up. I
Put
just
your
like,
analysis hat on.
No. I can't imagine that you didn't see other kids doing it, and I can't imagine a kid being like, so let me understand, I get to be whatever my favorite character is and then I get a bag full of candy? No thank you.
I didn't really like candy either. I think that was a big part of it too.
What did you like?
I remember eating a lot of rice cakes when I was a kid.
Oh, on purpose?
Yeah.
I came from a rice cake household, but I did not like them. It was just like, you want a snack?
That's just
this
what
is
it
the
was.
Snack.
Yeah.
It's this or nothing. And so I'd be like, nothing.
Yeah, or, no, I was never into candy.
Wow.
I'm still like, I can't do like chocolate bars or anything now.
Do you like Halloween now?
I'm whatever on it.
Wow.
I'll dress up and stuff, but I don't. I was thinking about dressing up as Luke this year, actually.
No, but that's not dressing up.
I know. It's just basically this plus a baseball cap or
yeah,
whatever.
Or unless you're like carrying around a pot of coffee that says Luke's on it. But who?
Oh,
but, no, that's
there
the
you
don't
go.
Do that.
Thank
don't
you,
do
Eliza.
That. No, don't do
Eliza
it.
Eliza just gave me a great
no,
idea.
It's the worst. Halloween props are awful because you're like walking around with it and then you're like, oh, I
that's
hate this.
True.
I need to put this down.
Props
and,
do you know what you're going to be this year?
No, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to dress up. Because I don't have, I don't know, I might. I was thinking about being a spider, but now I'm not sure. I don't know. I like doing something scary, some type of scary, because I feel like Halloween is supposed to be scary.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, or I like that. It's not so much it's supposed to be, but I like the scariness aspect mm-hmm. of it. I like the spooky.
It's what the founding fathers would have wanted.
Exactly. Yeah. This is what the nation was founded on.
Mm-hmm. Spookiness.
Yeah. So maybe a witch. I don't know.
But like a witch with a twist on it. Like I'm a witch who loves algebra. Like something different.
No.
Or, okay.
No. I like trying to like go for the real thing and just commit really hard to it.
Mm.
I do bum people out though sometimes. I was a corpse a few years ago, and I got really into doing my makeup like really accurately,
mm-hmm.
and people were just like, "Oh God!" Like I had like like wrist wounds, and I was in like a wet nightgown, like I had like drowned myself in a bathtub and slit my wrists, and people got real bummed out by that. So
I can't
like,
understand why.
Yeah, right. So I'm like, maybe this year just a spider,
just a fun little
that's,
spider.
That's still spooky, but no one's gonna be like, I had a troubled aunt, you know.
I tell you what would be spooky though, a little scary, if you dressed up in that outfit Lorelai's wearing at the end. Red pants, red leather jacket, orange scarf. That's bad.
Yeah, it's pretty intense. The thing, the other outfit that stood out to me was the pink baseball shirt, where she's mm-hmm. like ranting. She's ranting about how like she's having such a hard time studying,
right.
And she's wearing a pink baseball tee, but she's wearing these pants that I was like, are those pajama jeans? I don't think they
yeah,
had them back then,
out.
But they look like pajama jeans.
A little
jeans.
Bit. I did like the top. I like that baseball shirt.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
It's
You're not
it
a
felt,
fan.
It just felt so dated. It felt so like. I mean, of course it was.
Right.
It's from 2000, but it was like, oh, I remember when we used to wear those.
It is funny how much the women's fashions seem to be dated in this. Although Rune's fashion is pretty awful. Like, he's bundled up like he's a
Yeah. Was
Christmas.
Rune in Gleaming the Cube? I think he was.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think he was one of the skaters in Gleaming the Cube.
Do you like the theme song?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I like a theme song with words.
Mm-hmm. I like how it's a theme song that's very 80s, and that just is showing clips from the show, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, meet our characters. It's like Heart to Heart or something.
You might remember him. Oh, and look how much fun they have together.
How they're going to make it work.
They feel things and do things.
So, Eliza, how many kids do you want?
Are you, like, with you, or?
Not necessarily.
I don't think I want kids.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Why?
So for you, I mean...
You didn't expect me to actually answer?
Actually, no. You don't want kids, though? Because of shows like this?
Yeah, because I like my life and I like what I'm doing. And mm-hmm. I feel like I don't... Right now, at least, when I think about having kids and the life that would be, I'm not more drawn to that than I am to the way that my mm-hmm. life is now. Although I reserve the right to have that change. I don't know how much time I have left for it to change, but it could. Mm-hmm. So, you know, no, I have a hard time doing like any of these major life things that mean committing to something for the rest of your life. And I think having a kid is the main one.
That's the biggest one, right? Because you can change where you live. You can change who you're dating.
You can change who you're married to.
That's true.
Can't change who your kid is.
No, I mean, you could try, but it'd be...
You'd be a terrible person.
It'd be tough.
It'd be a very bad person.
And I'm wondering if I want kids now, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you come from, like, a big, weird family?
A small, nice... We're not too weird.
Okay. But I don't know. I'm still, like, hung up on this no Halloween and homeschooling thing. I'm like, okay, was this, like... Well, there was the 14 of us on the ranch.
Yeah. No, it wasn't, like, a Duggar situation or anything. It was, I mean, there wasn't that many denim skorts or anything. I'm trying to... it's hard to make it make sense to people. Usually the reaction people have is, I say I was homeschooling, they're like, oh, that makes so much sense now. Like people who know me,
mm-hmm.
Which is always a funny, funny joke that everyone should keep doing.
Were you homeschooled through the entirety of...
Until junior year of high school.
Wow.
Yeah.
How did you feel about it? Were you like, this is the best? Or were you like, it's different from other kids. I'm missing something.
I felt like I was missing something that year. And then I made the decision to switch to public school. It was always up to us. Like they said, you can keep doing this if you want to. You don't have to. You can go to Chilton if you want to. That's the school on the show.
Mm-hmm,
just trying
mm-hmm.
to keep it a little on topic. Although this is fun to talk about too. But yeah, it was always up to us. So I just said, yeah, I want to go to public school.
What part of the country are you from?
Texas.
Oh.
Give my thick accent.
Yeah, you do have a little accent.
Is that true?
Yeah. Just a little one.
I can't.
It's just on certain words.
I try to control it most of the time. I didn't have it ever, and now I'm very conscious of it living here.
I feel like most people have, like, everyone is always surprised that I don't have an accent because I'm from Virginia,
mm-hmm.
and people either consider Virginia not the South and don't expect me to have an accent or any kind of Southern association, which I think is untrue,
mm-hmm.
or they think that it is super deep South and where's your thick hillbilly accent,
mm-hmm.
which is also untrue. But I think that most people have like a couple words that you'll be like, they say that word funny. Where is that from?
Sometimes my tell word is y'all. I will say
oh,
y'all.
Oh yeah, I say mm-hmm. y'all. Well, y'all I think is just missing from English. I think that most...
It should be.
Most languages have a second person plural.
Yeah.
We don't have a second person plural.
That's a good point.
Meaning you, who I'm talking to, but more than one person.
Right.
And you all does do that. I think that you might have a different experience with y'all, but I think that a lot of people who didn't grow up with that as part of their vernacular think that people say it about one person. Like,
oh.
Like, Kevin, hey, y'all.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
it was always plural to me.
Yeah, it's, do y'all want to all go to the store mm-hmm. or whatever?
Y'all hungry? Both of you? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So
we get it, Eliza.
Mm-hmm.
So we always end the episode by rating the episode, and we change...
I give it a G or PG, maybe.
PG-13. We always give it a different rating system. I'm going to give it 3... You know, I might give it 2.5. But I love that Mrs. Kim and Lorelai scene so much because it's two women that want the same things for their daughter. They want them to be safe. They love them so much, but they have just such wildly different approaches. And I think that when they're just like communicating in a grounded, realistic way is so interesting to watch.
And I feel like being a little hurt by each other, but recognizing that the point of the conversation isn't how they treat each other, but how they treat their children and can like... trust each other with their children.
Totally. The common ground. And you see Mrs. Kim compromise a little bit when mm-hmm. she lets Lane on the lawn like a dog.
Yeah.
Which is great. So I might give it 3 out of 5 fresh clams.
I don't know if those clams are really fresh. Those mussels are fresh. I think the same. I don't have a whole lot of context for it. I mean, it was no Dawson's Creek, So I can't. I can't give
was
it.
Was Dawson's
a,
like way more grounded and realistic? Or
well, you know, and I would say yeah, and then like watch an episode and be like, what was I saying?
Yeah, well, when was the last time you watched it?
It's been a while.
It's been a while.
It's been a while. But I also always wanted a lot more romance in the stuff that I watched, and Dawson's is all about like high drama romance between a bunch of teenagers. What? You gotta watch it.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Typical millennial.
But the problem is that that Dawson is kind of a dud. I think the main character is a dud. And so like all the people being like attracted to him or like having tension with him, I'm like, I don't buy it.
Who cares?
Yeah.
You were more of a Joshua Jackson girl.
Oh yeah. Pacey. Yeah. I mean, still, I think that people of a certain age, women of a certain age are imprinted with, if Joshua Jackson asked to sleep with us, we have to do it because he's Pacey.
I got that from Fringe, but.
Oh yeah.
The same. Yeah.
Yeah. You have the same feeling.
Oh yeah. Totally.
I never watched Fringe.
That's okay.
I wanted to know him only as Pacey. Although I have been watching The Affair, and
is he good in that?
Yeah, he's the bad husband,
right?
In that. Well, but here's the
thing:
is
he bad?
Exactly. Mm. Have you watched? Yeah, it's no. Told from both sides,
right?
So the first half of it is
yeah,
and so like in the sides told by the dude in The Affair, yeah, he's a bad husband, but in the woman's version, he's like a dude who's trying really hard and in a really terrible situation. So I don't know. But yeah, I give it 3 out of 5.
3 out of 5 what?
Oh, 3 out of 5 wet meringues.
Mmm, 3 out of 5 wet, poorly done meringues. Oh my gosh. Eliza, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Sure.
This has been such a blast. I've loved every second of it, truthfully. You were like, you were one of the first guests we got. We were like, oh my gosh, she's actually going to do the
really?
Show.
Really?
Yeah, totally. I love it so much.
Well, thanks for
Do you have anything
me.
To plug?
I host a show every Thursday at the Virgil in Los Feliz.
Mm.
It's called Big Money. It's a free comedy show. That's about it.
Wonderful.
Otherwise, follow me on Twitter, @ElizaSkinner.
@ElizaSkinner. Do you have a podcast coming out?
Hopefully, yeah. I'm working on something with Maximum Fun.
Okay.
And so we'll see if that happens.
It's
the crying one? Yeah, it's called Get Your Cry On.
Get Your Cry On.
Where I talk to people about the movies, TV shows, and songs, books that have made them cry.
Gilmore Girls would be one of them for
Does
me.
Does it?
Mm-hmm. Like two episodes ago.
On the regular?
Ago. Yeah, I
really?
Think so. Mm-hmm.
That's pretty great.
I always thought that this is my dumb male perspective, just... You can humor me. But I always thought that being super into Gilmore Girls would come to benefit me in the realm of like being able to talk to people and to talk to girls later. Like, oh, you like that show? I like it too. Blah, blah, blah. Luke, Lorelai. And I tried that a lot in college. Not as like a move, but just like I would bring it up sometimes. And always it was like, no, that show's dumb. No one sounds like that in real life. That's a stupid show. And it always backfired.
Well, there was a moment in this episode where she's like, this is an exceptional cup of coffee. And he's like, I put a little nutmeg in it. And she's like, very Richard Simmons of you. Which, first of all, I was like, what?
Yeah, that's not. See,
that's
I
not
thought
Richard
that reference
Simmons
was
of,
bad.
Like, Richard Simmons is working at what?
Yeah.
And but his response to kind of get it back on track was women like a guy with a feminine side. And the thing is, a guy with a feminine side, when it's Luke, when it's a dude who's like super butchy town,
that's
and
true.
He's like secretly got a feminine side, then you're like, oh, wow. But I feel like if you're like...
For someone like me.
Well, I feel like you're like, you know...
a little lighter than Luke.
Yeah.
That's fair to say.
And to be like, it's no shock that you like Gilmore Girls. If you were like, two top favorite things, Gilmore Girls and Monster Truck Pulls. Then I feel like people would be like, huh.
And be more shocked by Monster Truck Pulls.
Exactly.
Than Gilmore Girls.
Exactly. I think me as butch a lady as I am, I think if I was like, hey, you know what I fucking like? Gilmore Girls. And people would be like,
whoa.
So it's all just like.
What do you think is your favorite TV show of all time? If you had to choose. Or just give me like top 3 or whatever.
I like Twin Peaks a lot.
Yeah. There's a good podcast about that, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, Fire Talk with Me.
Mm,
is that a nice
name?
Are you stoked for season 3?
Yeah, I am.
With
who knows?
Expectation? I know, right?
No, yeah, no expectation. You can't have expectations for David Lynch.
No. I found that out after Inland Empire.
Oh, yeah. Oof. Yeah. There are some, yeah, you know, but you just got to be like, well, there's that.
Sure.
Yeah,
you seem like a Twin Peaks, sir.
Yeah.
A Peaksy.
Yeah, right? I don't know what else. I like, X-Files.
Yeah. So like really dark stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. See, there you go. So
dark stuff shot in Vancouver.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, this is too lighthearted.
Yeah.
That's what you are. You're lighthearted. If you have like you need like a secret dark thread. That people would be like, oh.
I don't think of you as a butch woman.
Well,
though.
I'm not butch, but that's.
I know what you're saying.
It's not
your
even.
Temperament.
It's not even masculine and feminine. It's darkness and lightness.
Mm.
You're a light guy who likes a light show.
That's true.
I'm
I like
a dark
darkness,
lady,
though.
Who likes dark shows? We need to temper ourselves with unexpected choices.
Mm.
I like Friends. How about that?
It's okay. Actually, sure. Wait, were you saying the TV show Friends?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or the concept of Friends.
I thought you were saying like Friends, like we're friends.
Oh,
how about that?
Yeah. No. Oh, yeah, that makes sense also. But
right?
No, yeah, I'm at the TV show.
It goes both ways.
Yeah. But
coming out on Netflix, January 1st.
Gonna watch them.
I won't.
Joey's real funny.
Yeah.
Joey's a real funny character.
Am I a Joey or a Chandler?
No, you are not a Joey. You're a Chandler.
I'm a Chandler?
Yeah.
I tell all my friends that and they disagree.
And they say you're a Joey?
Yeah. And I'm like, no, Joey's dumb. I'm dumb in a lot of ways, but Chandler is always the butt of jokes, too. By the like the last half of the series, he's constantly the butt of the jokes.
Well, I mean, I could see that again, Joey has like kind of more of a happy-go-luckiness
mm-hmm.
than Chandler does. But also Joey has, yeah, he's just sort of like, he's like a happy-go-lucky thug.
And I'm no thug.
You're no thug.
Ladies, I'm no thug.
You're a happy-go-lucky fella.
I am a fella.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. There's no better compliment. Well, you can follow us at Gilmore Guys Show on Twitter. Write in at GilmoreGuysShow@gmail.com. We'll be back next week or next time or whenever this is dropping. We're taping them so far in advance. It's hard to know when they're coming out. But follow at Eliza Skinner.
Mm-hmm.
We usually end the show with both of us singing the theme song, me and Demi, and then the guest joins in. But should we just talk about media analysis while the theme song plays over it?
No, you should sing it.
And you should just watch.
We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Okay. Thank you guys for listening. If you're out on the road, feeling lonely and so cold, all you have to do is call my name, and I'll be there.
Be there
on the next train.
Yeah, yeah.
Where you lead, I will follow.
I will follow.
Anywhere that you tell me to, if you need me to be with you, I will follow. Where you lead, I will follow. Eliza's just marrying my body now. Yeah, that you tell me to, if you need me to be with you, I will follow. Where you lead. Thank you, Eliza.
You're welcome.
Is that the weirdest worst?
No, that was so funny.